Now, let me show you how this works. We just don't say it and have it go away. We save it and we grade ourselves. So, for example, back on the November 12th edition of Evan and Tiki, we went through all the major free agents in Major League Baseball and predicted where they would end up. Now, that process is still going on as we speak, but a few days ago, Alex Bregman signed a 5-year contract with the Chicago Cubs. So just to show you how this works before we dive into the head coaching vacancies, let us go to our prediction desk with Sean Morash and find out how we did on predicting back in November where Alex Bregman would end up. So, Sean, who should we start with?
Well, after that promo, why don't we go after hours with Tommy Lugauer here?
So I'm going to say Alex Bregman to the Phillies.
Incorrect. He is not a Philadelphia Philly. Who's next?
We'll go me. Seattle Mariners.
Incorrect. He is not a Seattle Mariner.
Brutal. All right. We'll go Tiki.
So I'm going to say Boston Red Sox.
Well, a lot of Red Sox fans hoped you were right that he would re-sign, but no, not the Boston Red Sox. How about me?
So I'm going to go with Alex Bregman picking the Detroit Tigers.
Ah, damn it. So we all got it wrong. So currently on our scoreboard, Tiki Barber and I, Evan Roberts, have 2 points.
Yes.
You get a point for a guy remaining with his team, 2 points for a guy going to a new team. So Tiki and I have 2, Tommy has 1, Sean has 0. Has still not picked a correct free agent, but good news. Kyle Tucker, Cody Bellinger, Paul Bichette, Framber Valdez, still out there in terms of free agent picking.
God, this offseason takes so long for Major League Baseball.
I know.
And we say the same thing every year, but every year we get to January and we're talking playoffs in the NFL, and all of a sudden you'll get a signing. And it's like, what?
No, you're right.
I forgot that guy was still unsigned.
Luckily, with NFL head coaching free agent bingo, by the end of the month, we are going to have an answer.
Right.
Like, it will be clear as day. So let's start things off in the AFC with the Cleveland Browns.
This is the hardest one for me, dude.
You don't like me starting with the Browns?
No, I do, but I don't. And it's because I have 2 answers here.
Oh, come on.
The problem is, I think... All right. So I originally had Robert Saleh.
Oh,
going to the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Because
they like defense. And it just feels like their mentality. And Robert Saleh is a really good defensive coordinator, as we've seen both this year with the San Francisco 49ers and his previous stint with the 49ers. But I'm also of the gut that they're just going to elevate Jim Schwartz.
Really?
So.
Now, Jim Schwartz has coached before, obviously, with Detroit, and he had some level of success.
Yes. And he's there.
Yeah.
And they had a great defense this year. So I'm going to say Jim Schwartz.
Sean Morash.
I have Jim Schwartz written down.
Really? Both of you? Yeah, I'm going with the big one. They're going to end up with Mike McCarthy.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they're the team that says, you know what, culture builder.
Right.
We'll take the 12-5 where we're pissed off that we don't make the playoffs. The young quarterback. I'd be curious to think what McCarthy feels about Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Plus, Mike McCarthy feels like Cleveland. He's fat. He's disrespected. He's Midwest. He's from Pittsburgh, obviously.
Right.
So Mike McCarthy to Cleveland. The Las Vegas Raiders.
Brian Flores. I've been on this one for a while because I have a super team. Brian Flores with Brian Daboll and Raheem Morris.
Sean Morash.
I have Chris Shula.
Chris Shula.
You missed the obvious with Chris Shula, but that's all right. We'll get to
we'll get there. Yeah, I'm
I get a lot of research for this with the interview list.
I want it to be Brian Flores because I think he deserves it. I am so skeptical he's going to get a head coaching job.
Yeah.
So I'm going away from it. I'm going to go Jesse Minter. I'm going to go a little Jesse Minter goes to Vegas. Tennessee Titans, Tiki Barber.
They need a coach who can help a young quarterback evolve into a player. Joe Brady. After the Buffalo Bills get to the Super Bowl.
I like that.
All right. Joe Brady. Go ahead, Sean.
I'm going Mike McCarthy here.
To Tennessee?
I am.
All right. I'm going Matt Nagy to Tennessee.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think Matt Nagy is one of those guys who's destined to get a second opportunity. It's just a matter of when.
I've been on him for a while. It's time for him to come out of purgatory. He has no reason to be there.
So I got sold on Matt Nagy, not by you, though you tried, not by Brian Costello, he tried. There was an interview that CBS Sports did with him in which Nagy is going over the criticisms of him as a head coach to see if he's learned from it. And I thought it was fascinating and very self-reflective. So I'm now on the Matt Nagy train. In fact, a year from now, if things don't work out with Aaron Glenn, I'll be warmer to the Jets giving a shot to Nagy than I would have been a year ago.
Right.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Mike McDaniel.
We're going another head coaching job right away.
Right away. Oh. I know he wants the head coach right away, But think about what he did with Tua, with all the timing throws and detail on how that offense was supposed to execute. Tua just couldn't stop throwing interceptions at an opportune time. Mike McDaniel with Lamar Jackson.
Scary.
That is scary.
That is scary. Sean Morash.
Jesse Minter.
I'm going with Chris Shula there. I think that the name recognition, the history of that name, the tradition in Baltimore, it's just too perfect.
You also missed the Mike Shula opportunity, but keep going.
Well, what is the Shula opportunity I'm missing?
We'll get to it.
All right. The Miami Dolphins.
Mike Shula.
Well, first of all, isn't it Chris Shula?
I mean, Chris Shula, yeah. Yes.
You got me confused.
Right.
It's not Heath Shula either.
Right.
What's the deep... Oh, yeah, the Shula connection. My Shula connection's better, though. Baltimore?
I guess.
So we both did the same thing, yes. If you really think about it.
No, you're right.
We just took variations on the Shula connection.
Right.
I went old school, you went new school.
Right. I went
Chris Shula.
What is the one thing that bothers Bill Belichick? That he couldn't catch Shula. I went Brady hiring Shula.
Mm.
Wait, so what? I'm very confused.
The one thing.
Oh, the Raiders. I got you.
Yes.
You already said. I got you. All right, what's your Miami prediction?
It's Jeff Hafley, the Green Bay connection with the GM.
Yeah, so this one is purely selfish.
Yeah.
This is a stick it to Evans, stick it to Beningo, stick it to BT, stick it to all the Jet fans out there. The next head coach of the Miami Dolphins will be Robert Saleh. He's coming. We know he's getting another opportunity.
No doubt. He's already getting interviews. So.
That's clearly happening, and the question is where? And I could totally see, by the way, Robert Saleh's going to walk in, look at Zach Wilson, and say, get the hell out.
Right.
Literally, get the hell out.
Right.
So I'm going with Robert Saleh to the Miami Dolphins.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The Arizona Cardinals.
This is where I have Mike McCarthy. Program fixer.
Yeah.
So we all and they have, need it. And they need everything.
We all have Mike McCarthy going to a different place. Sean Morash, the Arizona Cardinals.
Robert Saleh.
Hmm. I'm going with Clint Kubiak.
Mm.
Clint Kubiak. The Atlanta Falcons.
Sorry, Giant fans. John Harbaugh.
Wow. Wow. That was the swerve no one wanted to see. You think John Harbaugh is saying no to the Giants and yes to the Atlanta Falcons?
Yep.
Damn, because Matt Ryan's that smooth.
Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan. Ice in his veins.
And Matty Ice. That's why they called him that. Go ahead, Sean.
I'm going with the guy currently sitting with Matt Ryan, Kevin Stefanski.
Me too. I'm going to completely agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think Kevin Stefanski ends up in Atlanta, which I think I know that's what it means for the Giants, which leaves us with the Giants. We'll do the Steelers in a second as like a bonus round. The New York Football Giants next head coach, Tiki Barber.
Kevin Stefanski. I have to stay true to what I said originally.
It's what you want too, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm going to go with John Harbaugh. I think it's happening. I think Giant fans, prepare yourself for something you have not felt in a very long time. Ecstasy, excitement, getting what you want. And I do think he is the clear choice. I think that all the indications are there that John would be intrigued by this opportunity. And I think by the end of the week, there's going to be an annoying celebration on this radio station from Giant fans. I say annoying because I'm jealous, but I respect the hell out of it. I think you're getting your man.
I agree. I think John Harbaugh will be the coach of the Giants. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah, look at you. Finally coming around to positive goodness happening in your life. And finally, it is possible that by the end of today or tomorrow, there'll be a breakup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin. Let me be the first to tell you that their next head coach will be Marcus Freeman, formerly of Notre Dame.
What, he's going to renege on his commitment to go back to Notre Dame?
1,000%.
Why?
You know what? Sean, pull the clip for me. I have a clip. Oh, you probably didn't even get it ready. I have an interesting report about Marcus Freeman. Not my report.
Right.
It's from the great Ian Rappaport, who's very good at reporting NFL information. About Marcus Freeman, because to Tiki's point, it came out a few weeks ago when Freeman's name was linked everywhere, including the Giants.
Right. The AD was adamant, no matter who wants you in the NFL, we are keeping Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. And then we saw, even though we didn't hear a contract extension, we did hear something about him committing to stay at Notre Dame.
That's what we heard, but we didn't hear the specifics. Here is a report from Ian Rappaport from just this past weekend around the potential candidacy of Marcus Freeman.
My understanding is Marcus Freeman, who did receive a contract adjustment, not extension, adjustment from Notre Dame for his agreement to stay. These teams who viewed him highly still believe there is a chance that he comes to the NFL. They still believe, Mike, he is a top-tier candidate. Now, it would probably not be like Marcus Freeman come in an interview. It would be they go through the process and then say, this is the guy we want. That's really the only way it would work. But Marcus Freeman still looms large in the NFL coaching carousel.
So if you believe that report, and I do, Ian Rappaport's one of the best at it, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the special kind of organization that would cause Marcus Freeman to say, screw it, I'm going back on the contract adjustment, I'm coming to the NFL. Plus, Freeman's talked positively about the Steelers before.
Right.
I think if Pittsburgh makes the move, that's where they go.
That's an interesting one. I'm going to say Jesse Minter here for the Steelers, if it becomes available.
Sean?
I think the Steelers are so due to hire a coach and realize he's not the right guy 2-3 years down the line. I think they just promote Arthur Smith.
Oh, God.
I was thinking about that. Like, literally, as I was thinking about the Steelers, I was like, they could promote Arthur Smith. He has had coaching experience. Could you imagine?
I mean, if Robert Saleh gets another shot, and he was basically exactly the same record-wise, 7-10 every single year.
I'm not saying that Arthur doesn't deserve another shot. What I am telling you is the Steeler fans are not going to be good with it.
No. Look, Arthur Smith also kind of rubs some people the wrong way, just to how his personality is. So I don't know how much of Steeler Nation knows that. Like, you know it because when he was head coach in Atlanta, you just saw it. But you don't really see the coordinator. You get to blame him, but you don't see him. You don't hear him speak all the time. So that would be surprising, Sean, if that happened.
Yeah. That would be Steeler fans would lose their freaking minds if that happened. They would.
I agree with all of you. I'm just saying, you're already late to the party in interviewing, and aren't they due as an organization to clunk this up?
Yeah. No, you're right. They absolutely are. By the way, if it's available, we don't even know if it's going to be available.
No, I got you.
Even though my gut feels like it is going to be.
But more so because of the choosing of Mike Tomlin than the Steelers breaking up.
Because he knows. We let our show with this. It just feels like Mike Tomlin has banged his head against the wall over and over and over and over again. And the failings, in large part, are due to offensive ineffectiveness. And that's basically the quarterback. Ever since Ben left, who have been the quarterbacks? And so you win too much. You're always picking 20-27. And you never get to draft one or develop one. And then going in free agency and taking some disgruntled quarterback from some other team, they're not available, not anymore. So I think he might say, I'm good, man, and walk away for a year.
All right, we'll check in on these results as the entrants come in or the results come in over the next couple of weeks. 888-808-1019, the number. Joe is in Hamden, Connecticut. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Good.
Yeah, I had a question for Tiki. You remember the game in Chicago when Love got the concussion?
Yes. Yes. During the regular season.
The NFL talks a lot about how they care about the concussion protocol. But the guy that tackled, I don't even know his name, but he slammed him. It was like an assault.
Yeah, it was.
And all they got was a 15 yard penalty. He didn't get suspended.
Right.
No one even talked about it.
Well, he got fined.
You did get fined?
Yeah, and so that's the thing, Joe. But the fine is, it doesn't do anything. You know what I mean? You get a $10,000, $15,000 fine. What does that do to you?
Suspension of games does something.
100%. And they do that in college.
Yes.
Right?
Or targeting. And they eject you from games.
They eject you immediately from the game. I don't know if they suspend you in college, but something along that lines would, especially if it's repeated, like
Vontaze Burfict.
Perfect, exactly, for the Steelers. Against the Steelers. He was
with Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. He always was hitting Antonio Brown and the Steelers.
Yes.
I mean, I think he concussed him at least twice, maybe three times. Right. And he ultimately got suspended. That's how you prevent it. But it's hard to push this on repeat offenders because you don't always see repeat offenders.
Artie's in Brooklyn. Hey, Artie.
Hey, Artie.
Guys, welcome to the 10 o'clock spot, man.
Appreciate you.
I miss you guys.
Thank you, man.
So I got a plan. I want to see if you guys agree. Okay? Instead of taking a chance with Moore, you need so many pro players. You trade the two and you find a team like the Cardinals. that would want to start over. You take their quarterback that they're not happy with,
Kyler Murray.
You draft a guy that's a mini-me in college right now, which is Chambliss. And then you go and get the offensive coordinator that coached Murray. What do you think? You get two defensive guys in the first round. You have your quarterback in Murray. You have your future quarterback in Chambliss. And you finally got an offensive coordinator.
Here's my question, and I don't know if Sean...
Talking about Cliff Kingsbury, obviously.
I don't know if Sean remembers it or you remember it. How did the relationship between Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray end? I know that Kyler's best success came with Cliff Kingsbury, but obviously it came with a breakup.
I think it ended somewhat contentious only because everybody found out about the contract. Remember, his contract had a clause in it about whatever, work habits and work dedication.
There were some thoughts that Cliff was slipping things to the media because he wanted him to work harder, and the whole video game thing came out as a result. People thought it was because of Kingsbury.
Yeah, that's a problem right there. If they're, because I know that we see connections and say, ooh, that makes sense.
Right.
But maybe it's a bad connection. Maybe it's one of those connections that won't exactly be rekindled joy.
But with that being said, Kyler Murray had his best seasons with Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a Pro Bowler.
He was.
Rookie of the Year.
I don't think there's any question that when you look at his resume, that's where he had his best success. Of course. Josh is in Far Rockaway. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First of all, Evan, Tickey, welcome back to the spot. Evan, I'm getting flashbacks to high school 15 years ago listening to you on 10 o'clock. This is what I'm used to.
That's great.
I want to say regarding the Giants, listen, I disagree with you, Tickey. I think that Shane was a mistake. I think the Giants dropped the ball. I think they could have and would have just should have started over. And you're a very positive guy, right? But everything you could tell me about why Shane is a positive, I'll just point to the record and I'm going to win because it's been horrendous. But the way I look at this now, I'm a little more calm than a couple of weeks ago. If they get Harbaugh, I think he supersedes the GM. Meaning if they hire a Stefanski and they win 5 games this year and they blow it up and then they hire a new GM, that guy has the right to say, listen, Stefanski's not my guy and everyone's on a messed up timeline.
Right.
I don't think any new GM, best case scenario, they win 12 games, they get Harbaugh, everything's great. Worst case, they win 4 or 5 games, he goes to ownership and says, listen, this GM is not great. You got to bring in another guy, and they'll do it. And the new guy will want to keep Harbaugh. So that's the only way I see this really working out well. So I just wanted to say that, and hopefully they get him and take it from there.
Look, Josh, if that's the result for the New York Giants, it you're right. If John Harbaugh is the head coach of the New York Giants, then you're not worried about the GM anymore.
No, not at all. Right. And I think he's right that if, look, John takes over, I think the expectations for the Giants next year are going to be very high, not just from Giant fans, but from me. I would look at them as they're a 9-win football team. Like, again, John can make that difference.
Right, but the reality is so much of it's going to depend on what the staff looks like.
Sure, but I trust, based on his history of building good staffs, that he'll build a good staff.
Yeah, of course.
But I think that if they had a bad first year, there would be zero discussion of John Harbaugh being one and done. Mm-hmm. It would merely say, okay, let's change the GM. He's going to bring in his own guy and go from there. I think it's different if it's not John Harbaugh.
I know. I hear you. And look, this is my thoughts on John and versus Kevin Stefanski are a little bit nuanced, but it's only because when I look at what defenses are starting to do in the NFL, you're going to have to start combating what defenses are doing. I showed it to you yesterday when we were looking at what game was that? The Bears. It wasn't the Bears.
I think it was the Patriots.
The Patriots. When you look at what the Patriots are doing defensively, that's really confusing. It's hard. And you're going to need an offensive mind. So either you're hiring a great coordinator who's the next head coach somewhere else in 2 years, or you're hiring one of these innovative, contemplative offensive minds to combat what defenses are starting to try to do. Then if you don't do that, you're going to be behind. You just are.